Church.
Let the glory rise in your heart this morning. I'm believing for great and mighty things. I'm believing for greater things than you can imagine. I'm thankful today that my family is here. Norman and Jenny are back, and I've been praying to God for months for that, and here they are, so I say thank you, Lord. When you are not here, this church misses you. Everybody who's not here, we miss you. When you come to visit, Brother Bill is back again this week from Florida. He didn't have to come today. He had family to be with, but he came to church today. That's what church is all about, and that's what welcoming, and that's what I'm believing for, great and mighty things. Get out of your head and let God fill it, amen? Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thou is the kingdom, thine is the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. What more do you want? Give him praise. I know it's hard. I know it's hard because we all know each other. I know it's hard to have that spirit rise up. But the only way for you to get close to God is for you to get rid of yourself and forget about who you know and just look at God. Look up to God, amen? I need our church family. We all need to pray this morning, and we all need to come together and figure out something to do for Brother John. He's having a rough time. He doesn't have an ailment. He's got things in his body that are wrong. He doesn't have a terminal disease, but he is going through a lot. He's going through more than one thing that we can't tell you about because it's personal, amen? But his sickness has really got him down. He says the greatest day of his week, he texted me and said, the greatest day of his week is Sunday with his church family. Amen. He said talking to Deacon Chuck and talking to Marilyn on the phone were the greatest things that happened to him. He just prays and loves his church family. And John is in a situation where we need to do more than pray. We need to come together and figure out something we can do for him, to let him know, to lift him up, all of us together. Maybe separately, individually, call and talk and text him. But this is important, church. This is our brother in need of spiritual strength. And I just want to bring that to your attention because he's the most loving man. He couldn't love more people than he does. He's just wonderful. And some of the things he's going through are from the pits of hell. Amen. So I need you to really pray for him and just love him and know that. Our brother John is in need. And he will be here. He will be here on a Sunday very soon. Amen. He will be sitting here, and you can all sit back and say, whew, that prayer answered. But there'll be more. There'll be more prayers. Reading from Psalm 37. Where do we find Psalm 37? In the Bible. This book here? This book of the law? Whose book is this? This is God's book. Do we need any other book? Why would you need any? Does anybody know everything that's written in this book? Well, if you don't, then we need to work on this book. When you get to knowledge of everything in this book, we can go to another book. The book of Larry. Waiting for you. Do not fret because of evildoers. Oh, okay. Nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. I have hung on to that verse more times than I can tell you. I can commit your way to the Lord. That means you have to do something. Trust in him. You have to do that. And he shall bring it to pass. Understand what that says. He's going to bring forth your justice. That's why you don't want vengeance. You don't want revenge. You want God to bring your justice. Amen. He's going to do it. He will do it. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Oh, that Lord again. Patiently again. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Hallelujah. Where does sickness come? Fretting, worrying, and anguish. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. It's in your Bible. That's a wonderful one, Marilyn. Good job. That was a one. Everybody reading today. Whatever you got, good for you. Yes. Don't clap for me. I clap for you. What is the verse referring to in Philippians? Let your blank be evident to all. What is it? Is it let your joy be evident to all? Let your faith be evident to all? Or let your gentleness be evident to all? What is the verse referring to? How many think it's let your joy be evident to all? Anybody want to say let your faith be evident to all? How about you want to say gentleness? Let your gentleness be made by all. You see? You see, this is right here. This is a lesson. This is where you miss it. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Your gentleness. What draws people to you? Your gentleness. I ain't making this up, folks. It's in Philippians. How often does Jesus say we must forgive others? 7 times? 7 times 70 times? Or 70 times 70 times? How often does Jesus say we must forgive others? How many think 7 times? How many think 7 times 70? How many think 70 times 70? Well, you guys are great. I love you guys because that's it. But he only says 70 times 7. You forgive the... We're supposed to give 7 times 70 times a day. Oh, yeah. You forgot about that. A day. Every day. You wake up, okay, I got to start over again. I like this one because this one is really interesting. What, when Aaron's staff blossoms in front of the tabernacle, what else does it produce? When Aaron's staff blossoms in front of the tabernacle, what else does it produce? Does it produce roses? Were there figs or were there almonds on the staff? When Aaron's staff blossoms in front of the tabernacle, what else does it produce? How many think it was roses were on the staff? Good one. How many think figs were on the staff? Anybody almonds on the staff? When Aaron's staff blossomed, it produced wildflowers and almonds. Almonds. If you said almonds, you're right. That's Aaron's rod that budded. And where is that? It's in the Ark of the Covenant. There you go. You guys are getting better. I got 2 more today. What was the name of Cain's first child? I mean, remember Adam and Eve and then Cain and Abel. What was Cain's first child? Was it Enoch? Was it Jacob or Lamech? How many think it was Enoch, his first child named Enoch? How many think it was Jacob, his first child? And anybody want to say Lamech? His first child was Lamech. Cain's first child was Enoch. His first child was Enoch. Thank you, Lord. Paul says, Christ died for the what? Did Christ die for the faithful? Did he die for the ungodly? Or did he die for the righteous? How many think that Jesus died for the faithful? Anybody faithful? Faithful. How many about ungodly? Did he die for the ungodly? How many think he died for the righteous? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Ooh. That's good. We do these Bible tribute things. I love them. I have more fun putting those together too with the sermon because it's kind of fun to do. But it also makes us think a little bit and dig a little deeper and say, hey, I didn't know that. And anytime you increase knowledge in the Bible and increase wisdom, you increase spirit. Isn't that amazing? When you increase knowledge in the Bible, you increase spirit. I think that's great. Anybody ever hear the expression a wolf in sheep's clothing? Anybody, this might be something you never might have thought about when a wolf in sheep's clothing comes into the church. There's one special thing that he has to do. One special thing that a wolf in sheep's clothing has to do. Anybody want to venture a guess? I'll tell you what it is. He has to know the Word of God. Think about it. When a wolf in sheep's clothing comes to in church to start preaching, he has to know the Word of God. See, there must be a touch of truth before the lie begins, see? He has to lead you in with a little bit of truth before the wolf comes out and the lie begins. That is why, number one, the word must be in you. That's why you must know this word. So when that wolf comes, you'll say, wait a minute, that's not right. That's why it must be in your heart, that wisdom. The spiritual wisdom. What kind of wisdom? Spiritual wisdom. When that comes in, you see, because these people are looking for something. They're looking for you. These wolves in sheep clothing coming in start quoting scripture. Can I get an amen? Anybody ever hear anybody do that? Well, quoting scripture is nice, But it's not, Scripture's not used to attack anybody. Let me say that again. Scripture is never used to attack anybody, to condemn anybody. Scripture is always used to lift somebody up. So if somebody finds you and say, you need to read this, or you need to read that, you say, what are you doing? Because no scripture is for any private what? Interpretation. So you can't take a scripture and want it to say what you want it to say because it says what God says it says. And you can't make it. So a wolf in sheep's clothes is going to come to you and quote a few scriptures. You're going to say, oh, I relax. This guy knows the word of God. Yeah, but he's the wolf. See, that's the lie right there. See, he's going to say something. See, I have nothing to sell you. This book is not a for-profit book. I know we said this at Bible study. I wanted to say it one more time. This book is not a for-profit book. There's not one person in this book who got rich from doing the book. Amen? From anything that they did. But people got rich in the Bible from what? Obeying the Word of God. Prosperity came when you followed the Word. There's many men in the Bible who prospered from following the Word of God. But nobody ever got rich from preaching the Word of God. Amen? Paul didn't, John didn't. Mark didn't, Luke didn't, they all lost that life, but they preached and they served God. Servants shouldn't be rich. Amen? Not in that. But God will bless your life if you follow the word. You understand the difference? Hallelujah. Thank you. So if I told you that from now on we're not going to tithe anymore, some churches didn't want to, that would sound good, but see, that would be a lie because you would lose the blessing of giving. And it's not how much you give, it's the heart that you give it with. If you put a dollar in there, that's between you and God. But see, if I lied to you, if I told you, everybody, you're all worried about money, no tithing for a year. Or if I told you that you would receive, if you gave $1,000, the first 20 people today who give $1,000 are going to receive triple blessings. Well, you say, well, you're up here preaching and you're talking about the word of God, so I have to believe you. You see, that's the wolf in sheep's clothing, amen? They say you're going to receive triple blessing. I simply say, show me. Show me. Show me anywhere in here that anybody received triple blessings from doing anything, from man. Where does blessings come from? God. We see a lot of people that fool other people. Oh, they listen to him, he or her. They know the word of God, but they're not living it. They're good at preaching it, but they're not living it, which is opposite of what the God says, amen? When you preach the word of God, it should come out. It should be revealed in you. Your words should be edifying. Your attitude should be edifying. When it's not, you're a wolf in sheep's clothing, amen? And we have to protect ourselves because the Bible says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Understand how powerful that is. People that you love, Christian people in this world, are taken by the devil because of lack of knowledge. They're so easily led astray because of some good idea. And we're not going to do that. We're going to stand on the word of God, amen? Because everything in this book is for us. Anybody who follows this book, like this sermon we're going to talk about, is for us to live a good life and a prosper life. Anybody want to prosper? Of course you do. Anybody want prayers answered? Of course you do. The best way to get that done is to follow God's blueprint. Love him. Love him in your heart. Every day, every minute, accept him. Stop being who you were. And I'm talking to me too. How many times a day I got to look at me and stop being who you are. And be what God wants you to be. Do it the way God wants. And it's not easy. How many know it's not easy? But see, that's the fun of it. See, I say fun of it because when you start to change and you see change, you say, this is pretty cool. This really might work if I follow God. And that's why we got to get out of the muck and the mire and get out of that until we're in a good place where we can receive from God. Because too many of our ideas are still stuck in our head. Too many of our opinions are still stuck in our head. I want God's opinion. How many want God's opinion? If you really say you do, then let him in. Let him in. Amen. So Lord, hear our prayer. We have the word of God. We have this book. In this book is prosperity. In this book is good success. In this book is ways to overcome evil, the ways to overcome the lost, to help the lost, and all these things in here, Lord. They're gifts to us from you, written by people thousands of years ago whose only heart was to tell us about it, to share it with us so that we could learn it in 2021. We can grow closer to God. We can have the cloud in our church, the Spirit of God, so we're all on our knees and enjoying the presence of the Lord. You'll never be the same. Never. And I pray that for us today. I lift up Brother John as a church. We lift up Brother John. We ask you, Lord, to heal him, to touch him. You know, Lord, what the situations are, Lord. So we're asking you to intervene. Lord, we're asking you to touch him and asking you to touch every believer here to pray and to touch us all and bless this church. We're believing for great mighty things, Lord, and we're doing it through you. Yeah, Lord, we fail. Lord, sometimes we could do more technology or we could do other things, Lord. We don't know what we can do and what we're not doing, Lord. But we know we're calling on you, and we're going to continue calling on you through this book, our foundation, Lord. Hallelujah. And we need to know more about you. We know Wilson Sheep Clothing are all around us, Lord. We need to see that and understand it and have spiritual wisdom to look through that and see that your word isn't an attack. It edifies. That your word doesn't demand. It begs us to love you. It just opens up our hearts. That's what this word does. It doesn't condemn us. It lifts us up. So, Lord, let us grow stronger in you today and grow in that spiritual wisdom today, Lord, knowing that this book is truly all we need in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And be seated. Oh, all right. Thanks, God. My wife said something the other day. She said, "You're your biggest fan." I started laughing. I am my biggest fan. That's what she said it to me, Greg, at the show we did on Friday. "You're your biggest fan." Amen. Anybody ever hear of the Beatitudes? If I asked you what the Beatitudes were, what is Beatitudes? That's a kind of one of them words. I don't know what it means, so I just buy. Beatitudes simply means supreme blessedness, to be in a place to receive blessing. Amen. That's the Beatitudes. And who spoke the Beatitudes?
Jesus.
Hallelujah. You guys, who spoke it over here?
Jesus.
Okay, these guys are a little louder than you.
It's a great day for a band.
Yeah, I know, right?
Beatitudes.
Now, the Beatitudes are the Sermon on the... I remember we talked about people with Moses bones and people who want to worship something. You know, there's still people today who want to find out where that sermon was. They want to locate that in Israel. Where did he speak that sermon? Because we want to make it holy and we want to worship on the grass. And we don't need that. We got the word. We don't need to find out where he crossed the Jordan. Where was he baptized in the Jordan River? We got to go there. That place is holy. This is holy right here. I don't have holy water, but if you bless your water at home, it's holy. If you pray over your food becomes holy. You can try praying off the calories. I'm not sure we can do that. But the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, you might not realize this, but they were not a set of rules or laws. They weren't. They were lessons to living in a blessed life. That's what they were. Attitudes, behavior, and responsibility. That's what Jesus, the people came and he sat down. He sat down and started talking to them. He wasn't giving them commandments. You understand what I'm saying? He wasn't ordering them. He was just giving them this, you know, attitudes. Blessed are those who means others won't. That's when I first realized that, it's like, when blessed are those who mean he's saying that there'll be others who won't. This wasn't about mercy. This wasn't about grace. The Sermon on the Mount was not even about finding favor with God. Understand that. It was truth to life. Say that with me. It was truth to life. That's what it was. Jesus wasn't saying, if you do these things, you're going to find favor with me. No, he's saying, if you did these things, you're going to find favor in life. You're going to find blessedness in life that you didn't understand. Hallelujah. Those who will draw closer to God by being and acting in a manner that leads to blessings. That's what it is. Truth to life. Contentment, happiness, and good success. How many want that? Contentment, happiness, and good. Well, there you go. These weren't commandments. God wasn't telling us we had to. He's just saying, Walter, you want a good life? Listen to what I'm going to tell you. He's saying, Bill, you want a good life? You want a better life? Listen to what I'm telling. Just listen to the words that Jesus was saying. The poor in spirit. People say, what are the poor in spirit? They're opposite of the proud. They're humble. That it's not that they need God. Listen to this. It's not that the poor in spirit need God, but they realize their need for God in their lives. You see the difference? They're not in need of God. Oh, I need God. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need this prayer. Oh, I no. They are acknowledging that they need God in their lives. You see, the poor in spirit was saying, I need more of God in my life. Not poor in spirit like I needed God to give me money. I needed God to give me a job. Find me this, give me that. You know, the old miracle worker guy. No, the poor in spirit were simply those who realized that they need God in their lives. And those that mourn. How many heard about those that mourn? Who are the mourners? I'm not. Well, it's not necessarily those who lost somebody they love. But it's sort of those who mourn for the world. Anybody ever sad about what you see in the world? Anybody? And you see things going on in the world and you feel bad and you want to. Those that, see, that's what it's to mourn. Those who mourn. Anybody worried about your family that didn't come to Christ? I've heard that a lot. Oh, I hope my sister, my brother, my uncle, my cousin. Oh, I want my nephew to know Jesus. And that, so you mourn about the fact that they don't. You're worried about that. For your friends. Anybody got any friends you're worried about? Anybody? And for your own sins. For your own sins. See? That's you mourn for the things that you do wrong. Said, I don't want to do these things. I don't want to say these. I don't want to act this way. I just want to follow God for my own sins. And you know what the Bible says? You know what Jesus says? Those that do that shall be comforted. How many want to be comforted? Come on. Those who mourn, when you pray for your brothers and your sisters and your family and your friends, you're not praying for yourself. You're praying for other people because you're sad. You see the wars going on. You see people dying. What's happening in Israel this morning with the Gaza in Israel? There's both sides or people are dying. We don't want that. So we mourn for them. We don't pick sides in the sense that we want winners and losers. We want all to prosper. Amen? So we mourn for that. But he said, we will be comforted. I think from, and this is Jesus now. Giving mercy is the key to receiving it. Let me say, giving mercy to somebody is the key to receiving it yourself. When you give it, this opens the door for you to receive it. Anybody hear about a pure heart? He talks about a pure heart. That means not having selfish desires. Jesus is sitting here talking, and he probably looked at one and said, if you have a pure heart, you don't have any selfish desires. You're not about self. And that changes everything. When you're not about, you don't have these selfish desires, all of a sudden you have peace and comfort. You're not wanting something that doesn't belong to you. You're not trying to take from somebody else. You have this pure heart. You wouldn't hurt anybody else. Amen? With a pure heart, you would never reach out and hurt another person. Can I get an amen? Amen. And Jesus is telling us on the Sermon on the Mount. And by the way, the Sermon on the Mount is not in the Bible. It's what he talked to his disciples. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. It doesn't say Jesus did the Sermon on the Mount. That's a word that we gave it. That's why these people are out there trying to find out where he did it. I don't know about you, but if you ever saw a picture of Israel in 2021, I don't know how they find anything except buildings. So I don't know. You're going to find that. Good luck with you. But these are lessons, are you ready, that will draw other people to you. He's saying the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus is talking, he's saying these kind of things that I'm telling you will draw other people to you, because your attitude, your actions, your words will edify others, finding favor with man. When you do the things that Jesus is telling us we should do in this life, truth to life, you will draw people to you, because you will find favor with man. Understand that. God will have you find favor with people who come against you. Wouldn't that be amazing? The world would say, you're crazy. That's impossible. And I say, exactly. But with God, nothing is what? Impossible. So I say it again. It's opposite of the world's views and ideals. Revenge and getting even. How many have always said, I'm going to get even with her. I'm going to get even with, see? That's called revenge. And that's opposite. And let me tell you, that revenge takes a lot of energy from you. That revenge and getting even, that's a whole different thing in your body that makes your body crazy and nuts and tight. And you talk about stress. You spend more time trying to get even than trying to find God. And God said, I'm right here. I'll take care of that. And you say, no, you won't. You won't do it today. Praise the Lord. How many here are meek? And man, that nice word, meek. Meek, meek, like the Jeep Jeeps. Remember them, Greg? Popeye Jeep Jeeps? No? Meek. How many think meek? Who wants to be meek? Anybody want to be meek? Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Greg. Greg raised his hand. Meek is not weak. You might want to write that down and put it on your refrigerator. Pastor Larry said, meek is not weak. Meek people, are you ready? Meek people are not easily offended. Oh. Meek people are not easily provoked. Oh. Well, that takes a lot more strength than I thought it did. And courage. To not easily be offended takes courage, takes strength. That's meek. Meek is saying, I don't like that at all, but I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to be provoked into anger because I am meek. Because my spirit is calm. Because I trust in who? A desire to not be like the world. I'm going to try to be meek. It's not going to be easy. Something's going to happen at 2 o'clock this afternoon, 3 o'clock. You're going to argue with your husband, your wife tonight, and you're going to be meek? No. But you got to pull back. Amen? See, that's the change. The Bible says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, if you want to read that one. Quoting scriptures to try and manipulate others to do as you wish. That's the wolf. Now, it says overcome evil with good. That doesn't mean we accept abuse. Can I get an amen? We never give God's word to someone who will mock it. Who will try and destroy any value of it, anything good into something evil. We never do that. In fact, the Bible says to do what? Run away from those people. To turn away from those people who are going to mock God's word, who are going to insult your faith, insult your Jesus. So we don't try to deal with them. We never give God's word to them. The Bible says to turn away from such people. Amen? So we don't accept abuse. Can I get an amen? Now the word enemy, anybody ever heard that word enemy? Because I'm going to read from Proverbs in a second with the word enemy. So I ask it, and you'll notice that your pastor is like, I like to look up what the word means. It's really fun when you start doing that, what the enemy means. Adversary, opponent, rival, challenger, those are enemies. It could include some hostility, amen? That's also. But I wrote this down. A man that plays on the other baseball team is not your enemy. The Red Sox and the Yankees are on the field and they're playing together. They don't hate the other people. They don't become their enemies. They're their opponents, see? So the word enemy is a whole different idea, see? So enemy could be all the... Well, maybe some Red Sox hate the Yankees. I don't know. You know how they are. A man who plays on another team is not your enemy. And it says in Proverbs 25, listen to this. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If your enemy is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. If you do that to your enemy, you do that to somebody coming against you, give him bread. Might be, give him something to drink. God said, coals of fire on their head. And God's going to raise you. It said right there in the proverb, right, Gene? It said the Lord will reward you. How many want to be rewarded with the Lord? Come on. Tell the truth. I always want to be. Burning coals of fire. Now you know that's not what it means, right? It doesn't mean that some God is going to send down burning coals and put fire on their head. But when you're nice to somebody like that, when the Bible's talking about somebody coming against you, an enemy, an opponent, rival, somebody says things to hurt you, and because you're meek, you didn't get offended and you're not provoked, so you do nice things for somebody, you know what it does to them? Here's the coals of fire. Here's what it means. Shame, regret, conviction, and sorrow. When you do nice things to somebody who comes against you, especially a brother or sister who kind of know the word, and you do that, you show them kindness as they're showing you all these other things, and they realize it. The second they get shame, I feel bad because what I said. They feel regret. Maybe I should have knew better before I wrote or said those things. And then they feel conviction from God in their heart because they know now that they did something wrong, which brings sorrow. So you want revenge on somebody who comes against you. God said that's your reward. You will see it in them. Your kindness, your concern for those who come against you is how God calls us to be. Can I get an amen? Because it takes away their power and their anger. Think about that. When you do things God's way, there's somebody coming against you, and you give them a kind word. You give them a kind... You say, you know, I really miss you. I really love you. I'm sorry we had that disagreement. And all of a sudden, they don't have any power left. You see, they can't fight against love. They can't fight love. They can't fight against kindness. They can... But they can't fight against you. You see, all of a sudden, they're being convicted. And I wrote this. Hallelujah. It takes godly strength, trust, and faith, but the rewards are many. Amen. You take their power away. You want to do that? You can argue with somebody, and all you're going to do is give them power. You see two people arguing, yeah, but. Nobody wins, but when you do it God's way, and you stand back, and you see, because that's what I wrote. Speaking bad against someone who is kind to you reveals an empty heart. If you're kind to, if you love somebody through all that nonsense and through all the things of the world, you're kind to them and you're good to them and you lift them up and they still, they can't see that and they don't, and they still speak bad, they have an empty heart. Understand how sad that is, amen? They have an empty heart, exposes your enemy to be lost and exposes them to truly be in need of God. When you do it, God, see, this is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the meek, and he's talking about all these things, and he's talking about being kind to your enemies. Now, I'm not talking about people. We don't take abuse. Can I get an amen? We run from those people who preach the word and thinking they're preaching to you and they're putting you down. You run away from those people. When you people come to church and you say, hey, we really don't want you to act like that. And they say, okay. And then they continue acting like that. And then the elders take them aside and say, we don't want you doing that. And they say, okay. And it comes back the next week and does it. What does the word say we need to do? Bye. We can't have that in church. We can't have that in God's house. So he's not saying that we take abuse. He's just telling us how to live. Blessed are those who are. That who becomes you. Isn't that amazing? Standing with Jesus, showing the world what your faith with God looks like. So again, I wrote, remember, the Sermon on the Mount was not for those who did not believe. When you read it in Matthew 5, he called the disciples to himself, and they all came because they wanted to receive. So it was not for those who did not believe, for they would have no reason to receive it. Their understanding would be empty. The merciful, being forgiven by God over and over again, should give us pause and forgive others. How many times has God forgiven you this week? I don't want to know. You don't want to know how many times he's had to forgive me this week. But the fact that he forgives me day after day gives me pause to say, I need to forgive other people. Because that's what God's calling me to do. Imagine the healing that would happen if everybody felt that way in the world. I mean, they're still mad at people 150 years ago that I don't even know. You don't know. Nobody knows, but they're mad at them. 250 years ago, somebody did something. I'm mad about it. Why? What are you mad about? Were you there? Did he do it to you? But see, this is how the world is. See, they want revenge. They want somehow somebody's got to pay for something somebody did 250 years ago. Does that make sense to anybody? Praise God. So the merciful, being forgiven by God over and over, should give us pause. The healing of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I want to read from Deuteronomy. We had a Bible study Tuesday night. We went over Deuteronomy. And I just want to say that our Bible studies are really amazing. They're really different because we all learn something. Let me say that again. Your pastor learned something. The elders learned something. The deacons, we all learn something in the Bible on one of our Bible studies because we start discussing little things. And somebody hears it a little differently and they reveal something. Say, I never thought of it that way. And that works. Amen. And we try to stop people. We don't want anybody running down rabbit holes, as the old expression is. But when we start talking about them and everybody starts adding, all of a sudden we all learn something. The healing of the world, what God can do, what our responsibility, the merciful. Listen to this in Deuteronomy 4, 5, and 6. It says, surely Moses saying, I have taught your statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. So he's also in our land, in our country. That's what we've been blessed to be here. So this is the land that he has given us. And he's saying, therefore be careful to observe all the statutes and judgments. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Wow. That's our duty. That's the merciful. That's the things that we're learning on the Sermon on the Mount. We need to go out and act like these Christians. We need to go out and act the way that Jesus is saying. He's not commanding us. He's saying, but if you do this, you will change the world. You will change the understanding of the world. It said, therefore, be careful to observe them. He's saying, people, when you go out in the street, you go to the stores, you go to the malls, wherever you go, be sure and be careful to observe the things that you've learned. For this is the wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all the statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. That's the power of God. You want the world to see something special here. We start acting on the way Jesus wants to act. The rest of the world will say, what's going on over there? Because they don't understand it. They're not living that way. And they'll say, well, something great happened over there. And then we can all say, because we're following the Lord. Because we learn mercy. And we learn how to be meek. And we learn how to be patient. And we learn how to love God. And we learn how to treat each other. And the world will say, well, how do we do it? And we simply lift up our Bibles, children, and say, because God showed us the way. How powerful is that? Amen? How powerful is that? And the last one, my favorite one, I have to say if I have one, 5:9, Matthew 5:9, the peacemakers. Oh my God. My wife would say, that's you. I don't care what happens to who, when, and why. If there's a disagreement, I want to be in the middle of it. I want to heal it. Some people have left the church and haven't come back. I want to go chase them down. I want to go knock on their door. I want to heal whatever. Some people say bad things. I want to go heal it. Some people are arguing with each other. I want to heal it. I want to do whatever it takes to be the peacemaker. For they shall be called sons of God. Concerns for the transgressions of others. Conceals it. This is important. A peacemaker conceals the transgressions of others. How many understand it? You understand that? Somebody who likes to gossip, what's the first thing they like to do? Go over here. Did you hear me? And hey, did you hear all this? Hey, did you? And what does that do? Awful things. But see, but the peacemaker conceals it. I know something you don't know, and I'm not going to tell you. Because it doesn't help anybody. Because it doesn't lift up anybody. Because it causes dissension. But the peacemaker conceals the transgression of others. And it's a peacemaker does this. It brings people to God. You want to be a peacemaker? You're bringing people to God. And the last thing, a peacemaker brings peace to God's church. I'm standing here as your pastor. This is my love. This is it. To bring you to God, to bring healing and the great things in this ministry. I call on God. I call on the Bible. I call for lessons. That's why this whole sermon today about Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, just talking about things in life, the way life is, truth to life. If we could just listen and read those over again and understand what he's saying, your life would change. Our lives would change. The church life would change. The world would change. That's how powerful that little sermon was. And he just talked to people about it. The things of God. Isn't that beautiful? Give God praise today. The greatest peacemaker the world has ever seen, the most compassionate man, the most loving man that the world has ever seen, Jesus, our Savior, loves us. You can't stop him from loving you. You can't make him not love you. You can't do it. That's his love. And he gave a little speech on the mountain, and people came and listened. He didn't give us laws. He didn't give us orders. He just told us, life, peacemaker, meek, pure of heart, those who mourn, those with a pure spirit. If you do these things, you will be blessed because others will be drawn to you. If you do these things, your enemy won't be able to fight with you. If you do these things, you will be different and you will be the way God calls it. You'll be a child of God's. You don't find favor with God by doing them, but you find favor in the world because you act like God. Amen? This is not for mercy and for grace. This is for our lives. Every day. To find that favor with God. He's saying, I'm not doing nothing, but you're acting like I told you to act. So when you act like I told you to act, you get blessed. Supreme blessedness, the Beatitudes. He's saying, because you're acting like that, that's where the blessing comes. Because you give in your church and you're receiving something, something you're getting back, because you gave. When you gave somebody love, it came back. When you gave somebody a smile, it came back. Because you did what God called you to do. And it changed your life and it changed others' life. This Jesus, that's what he said to us. And he simply said, as he was there with his disciples, saying, do this. As he lifted the bread and broke it, do this in remembrance of me. That's all he asks us to do, is remember him in Jesus' name. We get caught up in it, Lord. Sometimes our attitude, our words, some things we do that we think are so righteous and right that aren't. So we get caught up in that, Lord. So forgive us for our iniquities this week. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for anything that caused us to be further away from you than we needed to be. Away from your spirit. Away from your joy. Away from all the things of the world, Lord. Maybe we got a little too close to the world for a minute. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, Lord, because we want to receive this healing, Lord. We want to receive this morning with a pure heart. As he poured the wine into a glass and said, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. Let's all have a pure heart and receive this in Jesus' name. Dreams and plans and desires and visions. I pray that God opens up your eyes that you can find them. I know you have things that you're linking about. You need to trust God when he answers for things that you can't control. It doesn't help anybody to try to fight things you can't control. Give it to God. Being meek and being unprovoked, being unoffended, that gives you strength. It takes God to do that, but it changes other people's lives. Have the pure of heart. Don't desire selfish things, but desire for other people. They will see that. Other people will see that and say, that person really cares, and I want to do something nice for that person. That's how it works. God said he will reward us openly. If you want that reward, just listen. Read that chapter 5 in the book of Matthew, just a little called the Beatitude. Just read it and see how beautifully he spoke it and how they must have just sat there listening to him. Just listening to all the wonderful things that Jesus taught us. Be healed this morning. Give him praise, church. Any announcements?